My brothers and sisters in the Lord, I still recall my first baptism as a newly ordained priest. In seminary, we used to practice. We had a baby doll, and you held the doll over the font, and you would practice the rite of baptism. And so we were taught to pour the water three times. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I thought I had it all down until I got to my first assignment at the time, which was St. Clement of Rome. And the pastor at the time said that all children in the parish had to be baptized by full immersion. Now, we didn't practice that. And so I was thinking to myself, oh my. So it's the first baptism. And so the child came forward, and certainly for full immersion, the child doesn't have any clothes on. And so I took the child in my hands, and I remember saying to myself, dear Lord, do not let me drop this child. And so we go over to the font. It was a little boy. And so you begin the baptism, and you dunk the child. And so I dunked in the name of the Father, and good thing he loved the water because he began to smile and laugh. And to the name of the Father and of the Son, and by the time I got to the Holy Spirit and took him out, he was so excited that he baptized me. I don't do full immersion baptisms very much anymore. My brothers and sisters, today we celebrate the feast day of the baptism of the Lord. An incredible baptism. And certainly, my brothers and sisters, our faith tells us that the Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, as the second person of the Blessed Trinity, did not have to be baptized. There was no sin to wash away. But you see, my friends, he set the pattern for each and every one of us. Because our baptism reminds us of our call to discipleship. It is by our baptism, my brothers and sisters, that we too are washed clean of original sin and personal sin. It is by our baptism that we're infused with the grace of God so that we can become the adopted sons and daughters of the Father. It is by our baptism that we're incorporated into this body of Christ that is the church. This first sacrament of initiation, in which we take on the name Christian and we begin to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. In our gospel today, my brothers and sisters, we see the account of the baptism of the Lord at the River Jordan by St. John the Baptist. And this is a very important event because it's told in all four gospel accounts. Jesus begins his public ministry, his 3 years of teaching and preaching as he leaves that River Jordan. And certainly, my brothers and sisters, we could talk about many aspects of the baptism of the Lord, but I just want to focus on three this morning. And the first one is this, my friends. What does the baptism of our Lord Jesus teach us? Well, one thing it reminds us of is the importance of humility. Jesus goes to the River Jordan to be baptized by St. John. Remember what St. Paul writes. Though he was in the form of God, he did not equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and God highly exalted him. The Lord Jesus emptied himself. He humbled himself so that you and I, by dying in the waters of baptism, could experience the new life that the Lord Jesus offers. Eternal life. It shows us the humility of our God. And it reminds us that you and I, my friends, we're called to walk in that virtue of humility. We see it in the lives of the saints. There's a wonderful phrase about St. Francis of Assisi. It's written in the Legend of Perugia. And in the legend, it speaks about Francis going from town to town and village to village to preach the good news. But as Francis is preaching, as he's going from village to village, there's a sentence in the legend that says this: "And Francis brought a broom with him to clean every church that he went to." It's the virtue of humility. Francis did not see himself better than anyone else. The Lord Jesus had said to him, "Rebuild my church." And he does begin to rebuild by his preaching, by his example, that example of humility. Younger in my days, I used to think that as you grew in Christian maturity, that the gifts of God were sort of stacked on a shelf, one above the other. And as you grew in Christian maturity, you would be able to achieve those gifts that God wanted to bestow. But the older I get, my brothers and sisters, and the wiser I get, that analogy becomes reversed. The gifts of God are not stacked one above the other. They're stacked one below the other. And it's only through the virtue of humility, by dying to self and living more completely for God, that we can achieve and reach those gifts, our full potential and our full call of God in our life. And certainly, my brothers and sisters, from the biblical perspective, we recognize that there's a difference between humility and false modesty. False humility. We recognize, my brothers and sisters, that humility doesn't mean that God calls us to be a doormat. But God calls us to be obedient. Remember in the gospel accounts, even St. John the Baptist objects when Jesus comes for baptism. He says, "You should be baptizing me." And what does Jesus say? "Let it be done in order to fulfill all righteousness." What is he saying? Let it be done to fulfill the Father's will. That's what it means, my friends, to live out the virtue of humility. It's to fulfill the will of our Heavenly Father. And only by being that humble servant can you and I each and every day be able to do that. I like to watch episodes of television shows that were produced years ago. And one of the ones that I like to see sometimes, and many of you are probably familiar with, The Lone Ranger and his faithful companion, Silver, his horse. How does this come about? Well, in the first episode, the Lone Ranger is with a group of Texas Rangers. And they're ambushed, and all of them are killed except for the Lone Ranger, who is left there badly injured. But he hears the call of a horse in the valley. It's Silver. He's a wild horse. He's not a tamed horse. And as the episode proceeds, the Lone Ranger eventually is able to connect with Silver to be brought to safety. And he begins to train Silver, but Silver's not used to being a tamed animal. Until the Lone Ranger gets on and Silver throws him off. And this happens until they become the companions that we know them to be as the episodes continue. The same is true of God's will in our life. In order for us to reach our full potential, in order for us to achieve the mission that God has given us, we have to be faithful to God's will. And we have to be humble. Because only in that can we truly be the disciple God calls us to be. So humility. The second thing, my brothers and sisters, that we see is the divinity of the Lord Jesus. He goes into the River Jordan. And what does Scripture say? The clouds part, the sky opens, the Spirit descends upon him like a dove, and the voice from the heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We see the first revelation of the Holy Trinity, that Jesus is divine, and that God has visited his people. And that's why the incarnation is so important, because we have a God who has walked our earth, and we have a God who has died our death. I remember when I was younger, we went to the mountains, and we went to visit one of the Native American reservations. And when we went, the guide who was going through the Native American history spoke about when the Christian missionaries came in the 1700s. And when the Christian missionaries came and began to preach the good news of the gospel in Christ Jesus, she said that the Indians in the reservation were able to accept it well. And it was recorded that the chief priest, or the chief of the tribe, I should say, said to the missionaries, "We know of a God who is love, and a God who is mercy, and a God who is strength, and a God who is power, but we never had a face for God. We didn't know God had visited his people." And that is how the message of the gospel, the good news of Christ Jesus, was given to those Native Americans. The divinity of Jesus. And finally, my brothers and sisters, we could say this morning that the baptism of the Lord reminds us of our true identity, of who we are and whose we are, that we're created in the image and likeness of God, and that by our baptism, by the infusion of grace, we are the adopted sons and daughters of the Father. And that identity, my friends, changes our entire reality. It changes who we are. There's a wonderful little story about the natives in the Fiji Islands. And before the message of the gospel had come to them, before the missionaries had arrived, if you go there today, you'll see that there's a church building. And inside this church building, there's this large rock that has a cleft in it. And before the missionaries arrived, that was the rock that was used for execution, for punishment, to take care of the enemies. But after the message of the gospel came to them, the cleft in that rock, instead of being filled with blood, was filled with water. It became the baptismal font. Our baptism, my friends, changes our identity. Do we truly live that out each and every day? And do we allow ourselves to truly be the disciple God calls us to be? Certainly, my brothers and sisters, we hear so much today about being politically correct, quote unquote. And when you're politically correct, you cannot say anything or do anything that upsets anybody. But there's one problem there. No one worries about when we're politically correct if what we say or do is in line with the Lord Jesus, is in line with the teaching of the gospel, whether or not we offend God, or whether or not we remain faithful. My friends, on this feast day, let us thank God for the gift of our baptism. And let us go forth to live out our true Christian identity, always standing up for what is right and what is moral and what is good and what is beautiful. No matter what the majority opinion says, let us be the faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus each and every day of our lives. So that on the last day, praise God, that by dying with Christ in the waters of baptism, we too may experience the gift of new and eternal life.